Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Raymond Snyder. Let's begin with prayer to Our Lady. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we're going to address the topic of the Catholic approach to literature. Literature is an art form. Reading it and writing it. I know from the time I was very little, one of my favorite places to go as a kid was to the library. I loved going there, taking books out. And I would often take books out about just things that, like airplanes, you know, everything about airplanes. I always was a fan of that. But also I would occasionally get out novels or mystery stories or other things, and I've always liked books. I wish I had more time to read them. Sometimes I just have to listen to them, you know, but I still love to read. It's wonderful to read things, you know, in a news format or informational format, which tends to be kind of very summary, get the information across as quickly as possible, the who, what, you know, who, what, when, where, why, how. And then there are, you know, articles, but then there's literature. Literature that may be by a Catholic author or may have a Catholic theme that is, even though it may not be, you know, seemingly on the surface as Catholic as other things, nevertheless, it can reach us in a whole nother way. I know at St. Patrick's we've had a series of called Faith and Fiction. And I know you, Father Raymond, were the one who had that idea. So maybe you could speak about some of the books and literature that really moved you.
Well, I feel like maybe I've had something of the opposite story, because as a little kid, I didn't like to read.
Really?
I was more on the math side of things and the math and science side of things. And it wasn't until high school that I really began to develop a love of reading. But it really wasn't until much, you know, even later than that I developed a desire to read novels, you know, mm-hmm. and became, you know, fan of several different authors in particular, Sigrid Undset being one of them. So the idea with that series we did was just that, you know, it's important to recognize that, like you said, there's all sorts of ways of benefiting the faith or things that can help us to grow in the faith or, you know, frankly, just good ways to spend our time.
Mm-hmm.
And reading some of these, you know, classic, either specifically Catholic religious literature classics or others, like Jane Austen made it, you know, into our series this year, a talk on Jane Austen and Virtue by Father Henry, who we, of course, know wasn't Catholic, but there are a lot of themes there that are beneficial to virtue and to the moral life. So reading all of these different things can really help, you know, cultivate our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we could see this even grounded in the scriptures, in St. Paul's words in Philippians, where he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. We might think of that as just a long-winded way of excluding thinking about bad things. But actually, this kind of opens us up to, you know, spend time on, well, all sorts of things that could show us some partial glimpse of God, you know, and of the truth and goodness and beauty he has created. So reading literature is a big part of that. and a way to cultivate our imagination. I think especially for us as Dominicans, as preachers, it's helpful to have for us to have this, you know, these hobbies and these habits of reading good things, because we find very good stories, you know, very realistic stories, helpful images, things that can keep our mind moving and cultivate, let's say, a habit of meditating on what is true and good and beautiful. This is a way to, in fact, benefit our faith, benefit our practice of the faith. So I see it almost more as being embodied in a practice, you know. Mm-hmm. It's good to like to read, you know. Some mm-hmm. people, like anything else in life, they want to read everything, you know. Mm-hmm. Are they? But we should approach reading, this applies to reading the scriptures too, more as like eating, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to eat to satisfy your appetite, right? To get what you need. Well, you want to read to kind of keep your mind working, you know, mm-hmm. to nourish it. You don't eat so that you can eat everything on the table, you know?
Right.
The same goes for reading. We read so that we can keep our minds moving and directed towards what is good. And we know, of course, in our day and age, people are bombarded by all sorts of sensory images, whether through their phones, through television, all sorts of media. It's helpful for us to engage more and more in the practice of just simple reading, you know, or like, let's say, listening to an audiobook, because it's there in that kind of silence that the Lord can really show us some important lessons.
Mm-hmm. I remember when we saw on the news the Cathedral of Notre Dame when it caught fire. It was a horrible thing to see. But remember, Father Raymond, you were saying that it reminded you of a scene in Kristen Lavrin's Daughter, of the chapel in the village on fire, and you know, and what it meant. Can you talk a little bit more about that? How that was an something in the news that sparked that image.
That's right. Yeah, it's in towards the beginning of Sigrid Undset's most well known book, Kristen Lavrin's Daughter. The church catches fire, and it's, you know, the local parish church, and it's amazing just how much drama there is in that scene and how symbolic it is, how everyone nearby runs to the church, tries to save what they can, tries to start putting the fire out. Some of the men even heroically go in and save different things and are even, you know, catch burns because of that. But the dramatic moment for me is when the parish priest comes out and says, you know, thank you, Olav's church, dedicated St. Olav, for all of the time that I spent singing and praying the Mass within you, you know. Mm. This was such a powerful place, you know, a sacred place. But there, when it becomes clear it's not going to be saved, he almost addresses the church itself and says, thank you for what you've done. But to get back to your point, this is it was a something that I had discovered in literature first that actually helped me appreciate the reality of what was going on more acutely. And mm-hmm. I think that's just it, you know. I think you meet different personality types and different characters in literature that can be very helpful for for, you know, learning to deal with different personality types. And not to say that you want to profile people and put them into a pigeonhole. Oh, you're just like that character in that novel. I'm not mm-hmm. saying, not necessarily advocating that, but it's helpful for us to, you know, just grow more and more acquainted with human nature as we see it realistically presented. You know? Mm-hmm.
It seems like in our own time, so many people watch movies or videos. You know, it doesn't seem that long ago, and if you wanted to watch a movie, either had to go to the movie theater. Or when VCRs came out, you had to actually go to a store to rent a movie. Now you can do it all online, you know, with a few clicks, you know. And so that's a you know, the movie or the series or the television series, you know, with all of its production costs and values. It is an art form. It can be. But it tends to be a format that is kind of short, you know, it doesn't have, you know, you're limited in some ways, you know, in ways you aren't limited by a novel, you know, a novel like Kristen Lavrin's Daughter is, you can't read in one sitting.
45 hours long if you listen to it on as an audiobook.
Yeah.
So, I've got 9 hours left at the moment. It's my third time through. So.
Yeah. So, but in a novel, for one thing, it doesn't cost, you know, millions to produce, you know, but it, for another thing, it can, in a way they can go deeper. You can go deeper and it can become more memorable, even than often a film can. Not that there aren't very memorable and powerful films, mm-hmm. but I think, there's things that a film can't really touch when you have a really good, novel or work of literature.
That reminds me of something that one of our brothers said, one who has a great appreciation for art. When we were doing the Dominicana blog as student brothers, there's always a piece of art that goes, or a photograph or something that goes along with the text, you know, to bring out something of the meaning. And he said he always preferred to have paintings as opposed to photos, because he said a painting can actually help you grasp the reality of something more easily than a photo. Mm-hmm. And you might think, well, wait a second, but a photo is more accurate, right? You get everything there. It's like as though you're standing there looking at something. But with a painting, we find artists are conveying something of the meaning. Mm-hmm. They're showing you something that just isn't conveyed merely by the photograph, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think there's an analogy there we could make too, that novels, books, reading are going to draw us into the reality of something much more deeply than a movie, you know? Because that almost gives us too much information, or it's too clear cut. There's the image,
right,
you know?
True.
One of the things you hear people say is, if a movie version is made of their favorite novel, they're hesitant sometimes. People are hesitant to watch it because
right.
they don't want that to take over their imagination, you know? Because mm-hmm. whenever we read, we're creating a scene. We're creating a landscape, mm-hmm. really, with our imagination. And, you know, we know, of course, people are very disappointed sometimes with the movie versions of their favorite novels. so, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone express disappointment about the Lord of the Rings movies,
right,
you know,
who
were diehard Lord of the Rings fans.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something to be said there. The imagination, our you know, individual human imagination has a tremendous power and capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And reading opens it up in a way that other forms of media don't. You're listening to The Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Raymond Snyder, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus, and I'm joined today in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott.
And we've been discussing the Catholic approach to literature, and that's so true that... As I like that analogy, as a painting is to a photograph, you know, a work of literature is to a movie. A work of literature tells a story just like a movie tells a story. You know, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But there's so much more possibilities. And yet, you know, just as a painting kind of places a little bit more of the burden on the viewer, the person that looks at it. Perhaps more than a photograph in many cases. So literature, in a sense, demands a little more of the reader. You know, you have to use your own imagination than a movie does. But it does. And yes, in The Lord of the Rings, I know people who absolutely will refuse to watch the movies. I think they're great movies. I mean, it's about as good a movie as you can make, you know, if you're not going to make a 50-hour-long movie, you know, of The Lord of the Rings. But yes, sure, there's important characters left out there. Characters portrayed differently that, you know, many people imagine them. But that world that you create, is something that demands more, but I think it yields so much more. What do you think, Father Raymond? I mean, sometimes when you're reading a novel, you know, some novels are obviously Catholic. You know, they're written by Catholics. They have Catholic themes. Some of them are written by non-Catholics that have sort of Catholic themes. Some of them might have just sort of currents. I wonder about that sometimes. What are what are the merits of the kind of novel, the kind of author, in terms of its true goodness in the sense of our faith? Or maybe you just have some examples of that.
I think it might help, yeah, to give let's say some well-known Catholic authors with profound spiritual themes, mm-hmm. but rarely Catholic characters would be Flannery O'Connor or
right,
Walker
true.
Percy.
Mm-hmm.
Profound themes, deeply, profound themes about the reality of grace, for example, and conversion in Flannery O'Connor. But rarely, do you have a priest or a Catholic church or something like that. And then you have others that are more explicitly Catholic. I think one of the novels we had in our series, of course, was Brideshead Revisited, mm-hmm. Evelyn Waugh's Brideshead Revisited. And the main character, part of the way that the novel is woven together is the main character, you might sum it up, has a whole lot of Catholic experiences, and it leaves him puzzled in different places, mm-hmm. by the different types of Catholics he encounters, some good, some so-called bad Catholics too.
Mm-hmm.
But that is one of these kind of perennial questions. Well, what does it mean for a novel to be Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think going back to what we said in the beginning, we should be open to truth and goodness wherever we find it, And there's a quote that was attributed to St. Ambrose, but for a while, it's one St. Thomas Aquinas is fond of, that basically truth, wherever it comes from, comes by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be useful for us approaching this year. When we discover a theme in an author, regardless of where they're coming from, that pierces to the heart of a reality, our first concern is to say, well, is this true? Is this good? Rather than to necessarily give it a certain label in our minds, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Because, our Lord himself is the way, the truth, and the life,
mm-hmm.
And our Catholic faith is, of course, the way of being joined to him and living in that truth. So even if an author isn't Catholic, let's say there could be, or the stories they're writing about aren't Catholic, there could be tremendous themes that benefit our faith in their work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when I had to write an essay about, I had to pick a book by Flannery O'Connor. Or no, I think I had to pick the book Wise Blood, which is a pretty, especially for an 18-year-old, pretty horrific book to read, I said, this is a Catholic book, But but sometimes it's only later you realize what this is about. I recently listened to there's an audiobook, Evelyn Waugh's book, Brideshead Revisited, and one of our friars gave a talk on it that was just fantastic. And I hadn't thought of it. I'd only listened to it once. I'm sure I'll listen to it again or read it again, but that in a way the book is about those different experiences. There are good Catholic characters who at least on the surface are good. But then there are bad Catholic characters, at least on the surface are bad, but sometimes it's the bad ones that in a way are the good ones, that really in the end, end up closer to God. And sometimes the good ones, the apparently good ones, it's not that they're bad, but they're not quite as deep, but all of them, there's this theme of that, that there's this invisible thread through their life that God, in his providence, at some point twitches the thread and grace acts and pulls them to him.
That's one of my favorite things to look at, and that's part of why I like Sigrid Undset so much, is because of the theme of conversion she focuses mm-hmm. on. And, I think even from a secular perspective, or those who appreciate Sigrid Undset from let's say the values of studying literature, from a secular perspective, they appreciate the internal drama she's able to convey.
Mm-hmm.
She's able to narrate in a way that gets you inside of the character's head,
Yeah.
And they can see, you can see reality with their eyes. Well, within all of that, there's a much deeper theological reality that she's conveying, and that's God's grace working upon the human heart, mm-hmm. And how God's grace is persistent, It comes to us at different moments. You know, let's say there's even hardened sinners who are offered multiple chances, multiple invitations from God to be moved and to come back. But there is the capacity to resist God, for example. And I just think that, you know, at least from everyone I've read, she is the best, I think, at conveying that inner reality of God working upon the human heart. So I see that especially in Kristen Lavensdatter, also in another lengthy work of hers, Master of Hestviken. And in another one, actually, that's just been reprinted as of a few weeks ago. I'm very excited about this. Cluny Press now has reprinted The Wild Orchid and the Burning Bush, which, for those who like Kristen Lavensdatter, I think would like this, or anyone really that's interested in Sigrid Undset would like these novels, because they portray a modern man, contemporary to Sigrid Undset, so not someone living in the 2000s, but someone living between World War I and World War II, that area, that era, and going through, well, the experience, much like we see in Brideshead Revisited, of someone meeting Catholics, learning a little bit about the faith, but going through a long and winding road. It's actually the title of the two books put together is called The Winding Road. A long and winding road by which this person finds God. And all throughout, there are these moments. It's punctuated by these moments of profound encounter with God and his work kind of moving the main character more and more, suggesting to him a deeper relationship. So that's what I like most about Sigrid Undset, and I'm happy now actually that book is available available to more people now.
Yeah, and just, you know, with the last few minutes here, maybe we could just talk about the Catholic approach to writing. You know, there's so much great literature to read, but what about writing? You know, people are still thankfully writing. What are some things that are Catholic about a writer's approach to his or her subject? What are some things that we would, you know, point out as things to shoot for?
I think a good writer, whether Catholic or not, you see almost a kind of ritual in their production. We're really any artist. There's a great deal of reflection that takes place, you know. They might even have a ritual by which they kind of begin and sit down and get into the zone, so to speak, to write. I would just say that for a Catholic, that's going to be bound up in prayer, especially, and some of their great insights are going to come in prayer. There's an excellent little book. It's not a Catholic book, but called Daily Rituals, and it describes all of these different literary geniuses or just artists, or, you know, Albert Einstein might be in there too, just famous people regarded as geniuses of one sort or another. And it goes through what was their daily life like and their daily routine. And I think it's worth noting that for the vast majority, they had a routine. And for a number of them, let's say at least half, maybe more, had a kind of routine of they worked intensely for 3 or 4 hours in the morning, because that was when they had their head the clearest, when they knew they could do best. And they had time in the afternoon doing other things, correspondence, exercise, leisure of some sort. I think, you know, there's something to that. I don't know if that's specifically Catholic insight, just to know that, okay, begins with reflection, begins in prayer. But if this is something that really is important to you, you're going to make it a part of your life. And interwoven with the practice of your faith. Be interesting to do a book like that or a study like that specifically for Catholic authors. But I think you would find, you know, for many of them, their day began in prayer, you know, and their best writing took place shortly after it, you know.
Yeah, so beginning with prayer. And if I know a number of authors have said, including one of my favorites, J.R.R. Tolkien, he said the tale grew in the telling. There's something about the actual act of writing that begins to unfold it. And I know that even when I'm trying to write a homily, you know, until I actually sit down and start writing or typing, it doesn't go very far, you know, but as you write it, it starts to develop. So it's a great thing to practice, you know, to practice writing, you know, to try to tell a story in your own words and see where it goes, grounded in prayer, and ask the Lord to guide you, to be able to tell a story from the point of view of the human point of view that reveals something of God's truth or goodness or her beauty, the quote you began with from Philippians.
That's one of one of the most helpful pieces of advice I got in writing my thesis, at least. So this could apply even to, you know, academic writing, that you need to write bad stuff before you can write good stuff. You need to be right. Humble enough to produce things that you may not keep, you know?
Right.
And so you could think of the idea of having a zero draft, you know, mm-hmm. which is just to begin to get you having the ideas flowing, you know, mm-hmm. but to have the humility to start with something that may not be that great, you know?
Right. I know I had a great composition teacher at it's Franciscan University. Mary Ann Sonierger, one of my best professors ever, but she would have us just practice that when she'd say, turn off your computer monitors. Don't even look. Don't even look at the typing, the spelling, just type, you know, and just get started that way. And it kind of eliminates that writer's block, because writer's block comes when you're trying to edit and create at the same time. But just that willingness to start, that willingness to like you said, to write a zero draft, to write something bad before you can write something good. And there is many, many, many good things still to be written. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Stephen Alcott. I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today by my brother, Father Raymond Snyder. Let's end now in our prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni, Sancti.